Today we're going to learn Nida Daf Dalet. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, just to review what we're in the middle of. The Gemara previously quoted a debate among the Amoraim. It's about 12, 13 lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. Kupa shenishtamshu ba taharot bezavit zo, v'nimtza sheretz bezavit acheret. There's a kupa, a basket, which is somewhat closed, and near the top. And then what did they do? They took out all the taharot, and then they found a sheretz afterwards on the other side. So they had this fruit, let's say that was truma. Later they find a sheretz after they took everything out. The question is, was the sheretz in there in the beginning? Now, if you remember, what did we say about this? This is exactly what Shammai said. I agree with Hillel in this case. And everyone agreed, basically, that we're going to say the sheretz must have been in there before. And what happened? When you turned it upside down and dumped everything, it got stuck in the sides. Right? There's, when you turn over a container, there's sides when it's upside down, and it could have gotten stuck. Right, the rim. Okay, but it's more than a rim, because a rim is kind of flat. That's the oganim, but it has like an underneath side.
Yeah, the rim is the lip.
The lip, right. No, but, So now, this case, which sounds like the exact same case, there's a machloke Chizkiah Rabbi Yochanan, who are Emoraim. They come after Shammai and Hillel, right? A long time after. Chizkiah amar taharot harishonot tahorot. Rabbi Yochanan amar taharot harishonot tmeot. So the big question is going to be on Chizkiah. If Shammai and Hillel both agree that it's tameh, how could Chizkiah possibly say that the taharot where they were in there before are tahorot? So yesterday, the answer was, it's different kind of kli that we're talking about, and whether there was less likelihood or more likelihood of it getting stuck, whether it had a rim, not a lip, okay? And, okay, we're going to leave that for now. Now we're going to have three other answers. Ibai Dema, ki modu shamai v'hilel b'kupa she'ena b'duka, ki pligi chizkev rabbi yachanam b'kupa b'duka. Each time we're going to basically say, these two kupot are different cases. So first we said the case of how the kupa was different. Now we're going to talk about, well, the kupa was the same type of kupa. The situation was different. So what's the situation? This was all, if you remember, there was the siman. Shulayim bedukim mechusim bezavit. Okay, so we did the shulayim. Now we're going to do bedukim. Let's start with Shammai and Hillel. They're talking about a kupa that no one checked. Okay, the assumption is if you're going to put truma in a basket, you're going to obviously check to make sure it's clean. But in there, there's no sheretz in it. Because a sheretz, remember, it's a dead creature, right? One of the Shmoneh Shretzim mentioned in the Torah, if that comes in contact with a kli, with food, it's an avatuma, it can be metame, all those things. Now, so Shammai and Hillel are talking about where the person didn't check the kupa before, and therefore we can assume the sheretz was likely in there before. When Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah are having their debate, they're talking about a kli that they already had checked. And therefore, the whole question was about Chizkiah. Chizkiah, who says it was Tameh, is going to say that's why it's Tameh. Who's going to say it's Tahor? It's Tahor because the kupa was already checked. So Chizkiah, who says it's Tahor, okay, now we understand why he says it's Tahor, because we already checked. But where comes the problem? Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's Tameh. If the kupa was checked, well then why is he worried that there was a sheretz in there in the beginning if it was already checked? So now they're going to say, Mar Savar Habadka. So Chizkiah says, well, they checked it. Umar Savar, Imor Imsiluk Yado Nafal. Right, well, it's true you checked it, but it could be as soon as you removed your hand from the kli, the sheretz went in, you didn't notice, then you went and took the tarot out and they were already mixed up together. Because Shvatzim, right? They come and go. They could easily fall in and, you know, fell in. We're going to see later. Well, how did it fall? Remember, it's a dead sheretz. We're not talking about a live creature. We're talking about only a dead one. It's metame. But we'll see later that maybe a bird stuck it in, you know, and that's like a possibility. A bird came by and dropped it in. See this area? Every once in a while, birds drop things in. It's a good example. Okay. Every once in a while, we find a bone there. It's really odd. Okay. But birds do drop things all the time. Now they're going to be a separate issue, though. What did we say? This whole thing started, okay, I have to go back to something in yesterday's daf, where Shammai and Hillel were having a debate, and Hillel says to Shammai, but don't you agree with me in this case? And comparing it to the woman who was bleeding. Now, a woman who's menstruating, is she biduka? Well, she is biduka because, we'll see, what's the issue? They made this comparison. Our whole assumption is that right now, Shammai and Hillel, okay, now we'll separate from this, Shammai and Hillel are talking about, according to this, about a case where it was ena b'tuka. Okay, the kupa was not checked. Now, if that's the case, and they made a comparison between their case to the woman who was in Nida, we're going to assume that she was in Abaduka. Well, that's not a good assumption, because why? Hadumi Adi Isha Katani, the Braita had set it up that the two were parallel. V'isha, because remember, then he said to Shammai, well, if you agree with me in this, why don't you agree with me in the Nida? And Shammai had to give a reason why the Nida case was different. But the assumption is we're comparing apples to apples. So kevan deshlichi badamim kisheena beduka damya. And that's even though women, isha beduka, yeah, skip those words. And isha is generally why we're going to learn that women would check, any women who were dealing with taharot would check themselves in the morning and the evening. So if they check themselves regularly, well, then we would assume a woman is generally called a beduka. And that would then not be comparable to their case here. So what do they say? Because women often bleed. And, you know, they menstruate often, or there's just a likelihood of damim being there, she's considered like an Eina Biduka. We've seen this before also, that right, there's an assumption she's more likely to bleed. It's not considered, even though she's Biduka. So therefore, we can say it's like Eina Biduka, and we're okay. That's answer number two. Answer number three. V'ibayit Eima ki modu shamai v'hilel b'kupa she'ina mechusa. It was a kupa. They were agreeing in a case where the kupa was open. Okay, and kipli chizki Rabbi Yochanan bekupa mechusa. Their issue was Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkia were disagreeing in a place where it was covered. Okay, so if it's covered, right? So well, let's say it easier. If it's uncovered, well, then there's a likelihood. Even if it was biduka, there's still a very strong likelihood that the sheretz fell in there. But if it was mechusa, there's obviously much less likelihood. Well, now they're going to say mechusa hechinafa. Well, if it was covered, then there's absolutely no way the sheretz would fall in. And then we're going to have to explain why Rabbi Yochanan was himitame in that case. So they say kigon shetashmisha yidei kisui. In other words, you open and close it. It doesn't mean it was covered the entire time. It just means it has a cover on it. You open it when you need to put things in and take things out, and then you cover it. So there was a very small window, and that's the machloket, right? Do we assume that in that very small window, the sheretz fell in before you took out the tarot, or not? So now they say, but wait, again, v'had dumia, same type of question. Didn't they compare, Shammai and Hillel compare their case to Isha, dumia di Isha katane, or Hillel really compared it to the Nida case, v'isha mechusahi, a woman's body is not open for blood to start coming in, right? Even though it's a strange analogy because the blood obviously doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. It's a bit of a strange analogy. They're basically just going to say, well, yeah, look, that's covered, and the woman is covered in theory, right? And what did we say? They're talking about a kupa she'ena mechusa. So again, they're going to answer, they could have answered a little more specifically, the blood comes from the inside, but what they're basically saying is, and maybe that's their way of saying the blood comes from the inside, kevan d'shlichei badamim, because blood is common there, kishe'ena mechusa damya. She's like she's uncovered. Again, the likelihood of the blood being coming out earlier was high. V'ibayit Ema, fourth option, ki modu shamai v'hilel b'zavit kupa. Ki pligi chizkev Rabbi Yochanan b'zavit bayit. The machloket Shammai and Hillel was when you found the sheretz in a different corner in the box. That was what we've said until now. But then you have to say, so the unique case was Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah were actually not talking about the same case. They were talking about where you found a sheretz in a different corner in the house. Now this is a little strange. V'ha'kupaka amar. But look at the, as we started with the say, it says, kupa shenishtam shubatarot b'zavit zov, v'nimtash sheretz b'zavit acheret. It sounds like they're talking about within the box. So that sounds a little weird. So what do they say? Hachi kamar. This is what we mean. Kupa shenishtam shubatarot b'zavit bayit zov. You were dealing with taharot in one corner of your house. Then you took out all the taharot, and as they were in the basket, you took them out of the basket, v'tiltilua, and you brought the basket b'zavit acheret. You brought it to a different part of your house. And then, nimsa sheretz b'zavit acheret. Then you found a sheretz, okay, likely the way to interpret this is in the box, after you had moved it to a different corner, okay? So now, chizkiya savar lo mechazkina tuma mimakom lemakom. We don't assume that if we see tuma in this location, and we didn't know that there was tumah in the other location, we don't assume that the tumah was there in the first place. Okay, so again, my tarot were over there in the box. I took them out over there. I brought the box over here. I found a sheretz in it later. We assume, oh, well, that was there, and this is here. The sheretz obviously got in now. That's Chizkiah. And Rabbi Yochanan Savar Mechazkinan. And he says, no, the fact that it moved from there to there, the fact that the sheretz is in the same box and the box was over there before, it doesn't matter that we moved it to a new place. We can assume the sheretz was there. Now we're going to have a lot of dealing with this whole opinion. We're going to have a while till we get to an answer for this about Rabbi Yochanan. Umi mechazkinan Do we really assume that if you move something from one location to another, and then it's tameh in the other location, that we're going to say, oh, it was also tameh before? We're going to see a bunch of sources that seem to indicate otherwise. V'hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, in Taharot, naga be'echa balayla, in the middle of the night you touch a person. Ve'no yodeh im chayim met. You have no idea if he's alive or dead. This is classic, by the way. Times of the Gemara, no lights at night, nobody can see anything. A lot of things happen at night, you don't know what exactly happened. Ulamachar hishkimu matzal met. In the morning, you find out that the person was dead, and you touched him in the middle of the night. Now you don't know, when you touch the person, were they alive or were they dead? So Rabbi Meir mitaher, he says, tahor. We're going to deal now with chachamim. Chachamim mitam'im. They say you're tameh. Why? Shekol atme'ot kishat mitziyatan. Anytime you find, and we're going to learn this klal goes both l'kula, both l'chumra. In this case, it's l'chumra. It goes by the way you found it. So if I find it now and it's dead, then we can assume that the last time I came in contact with it, it was also dead. However, and here we're going to get to our issue, v'tane ala, but there's a braita about that Mishnah that explains the Mishnah. This is very common where they say there was a braita that explained that Mishnah. Kishat mitziyatan ubim kol mitziyatan. It's only if you find it, okay, you find it, we go by the way you find it, as long as it was in the location that you found it. Here in the dead person, it would make a lot of sense, because if I touch the dead person over here, and in the morning, the dead person was over there. Right? How did he get from there to there? He must have moved, maybe he's still alive. But even if you ignore that fact, they're basically saying the principle is, you can assume it was in this status as long as you find it in the exact location. But if you find it somewhere else, then not. So now this seems to be like our case. If you find it in a different place, you see the sheretz is in a different place, we don't assume that the sheretz was in the original location. B'chi tema. Now they're going to say, okay, now what is this? This basically, this goes to chumra, right? This is a chumra to say we're going to assume he's tamei mei. So maybe you'd say that when Rabbi Yochanan says mechaskinan, okay, when we say that mitam'im, kisham tziyatan, kom tziyatan, and that if you found it somewhere else, then no. Maybe if it were a case of, let's say, truma, what would we say? That would only be midoraita. You don't burn it, but maybe we'd say that midorabanan were machmir, okay? And we would be tolin. Remember, tolin means you can't burn it, but you also can't eat it. Suffix, right? It's a suffix, and the rabbis say stay away from it. Aval itzlo talina. So now they're going to say umi talina, but do we really go the chumra in this way? Now we're going to show some cases that in a different, the location differs. Well, actually, it's a little weird. It's not going to be the location differs. It's going to be this halacha about bishat mitziyatan, and they're going to go lekula. So we're going to show that this works also lekula, and we're not always machmir. Okay, we'll see. And then they're going to say, but you're a little bit comparing apples and oranges, because you would have expected they were bringing cases of change of place. But they're actually, and there's two things here. Remember, there's kolat me'ot kish'at mitziyatan, the way you are when they find them. And then they say, as long as you found them, bimkol mitziyatan. But if they're in a different place, then no. So they're dealing now with the location, but they're going back to the first part, and they're going to say, just like your meiko there, we assume you'd be meiko with the location also. So again, remember with the dead body. The dead body was that when you find it, kishat mitziyatan, we're machmir, and we say we assume he was dead already. But now we're going to see two cases where you find something in a particular way, which is not mitame, and we're going to assume that it wasn't mitame earlier. Okay, we're going to go lekula. The hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, machat shenimtzeit mele'a chaluda, if you find a needle, okay, it was a tame needle, but it's full of rust, or shvua, or it's broken. Now, what do we say? It's tehora. Why? A machat, something has to be a kli in order to pass on tuma. This is not a kli anymore. If it's rotten or broken, it's no longer a kli. Now, what happens, though? We don't know when the machat got onto the food. So if the machat got onto the food when it was actually in good shape and over time it rotted or broke, then it would be tameh. But what do we say? Tehora. Why? Because kolat tmeot, kishat metziyatan. We found it that way. We're going to say it must be from then. So what do you see here? We go lekula with this principle. Vamai, lemahaimi kara machat malyati. Why don't we say maybe it was a perfectly good machat needle when it fell on the food? Vahashtahu te'alachaludan. It only developed, it only rotted later, which again would say, if we're going to say this principle, we go lekula and we say it's tahor, then we see that we're not machmir mishum safek. Okay. Ve'od, and likewise, Tanan, another Mishnah in Taharot, Matza sheret saruf al gabe azeitim. You find a sheret that's already burned. Okay, now a sheret, in order, okay, we have a dead sheret, and then we have a sheret that went beyond dead and is burned up. That's already not matame, because it's almost like not a sheret anymore. So if you find it burned, and it's on top of a pile of zeitim, olives, bechen matlita mumham, where you find a beged of a zav, which is matame, and it's already totally torn, when again, it's not called a beged anymore, and you find it that way on top of the zeitim, tahor, again, the same thing, we're going to assume it's pure, shekol hatmeot kishat metziatan. Okay, because we go by tumah by the way you find it. So now they're going to suggest, so this shows that what? The kishat metziatan goes also lekula, which therefore makes them assume that Mekom Tziatan would also go Lekula, which would mean, again, we're stuck with Rabbi Yochanan. Why is he Metame? If it was in, this whole thing was assuming that it was in one corner of the house, you moved it to a different corner, the Sheretz was there. What do we say in general? Sounds like we don't go, right? As soon as you move it to a different place, well, it shouldn't be, you shouldn't say it's Tame, the stuff that was in there before, because you changed location. So what they're suggesting is maybe this whole thing of location is only lechumra, but lekula we be machmer. We won't go lekula; we'll be machmer. But then they say, "But look, all these other cases, we go lekula." So now they're going to say, like I said before, which is v'chitema kishat metziutan bein lekula bein lechumra ubimkom metziatan. The whole reason we're going to go bein lekula bein lechumra kishat metziatan is because we found the item in the exact location. Aval shelo bimkom metziatan. But what if we found it somewhere else? Misraf lo sarfinan mitla talinan. But maybe once it moves location, then we're going to be machmir. Okay, so now we're going to say like this. In other words, in simpler words, why were you bringing cases of kishat betziutan when we were talking about location? You were talking about, right, how you found it at the time, and this was talking about location. Maybe when it comes to location, we are machmir, and it's only when you found it in the same location and you found it exactly like this and right now it's not metame, well then you can assume that was the way it was before. But if it's in a different location, maybe we should be machmir. But that's also a problem because we have another Mishnah. It's getting quite confusing because we keep bringing in more and more sources. V'hatnan kikar al gabe hadaf. You find a loaf of bread. Again, let's assume the loaf of bread is truma. Okay, it's a truma loaf of bread. You find it on a shelf. Umadaf tame munach tachtav, and under it, probably on the ground, it's not a madaf the way we think, it's not a shelf, there's a beged of a zav. Okay, now a beged, though not that the zav wore, because that has a very high level of tumah. We're talking about you found, like let's say, okay, there's different types of tumah, and there's tumah chamura yoter and kala. If a zav sits on something, for example, that's tumah midras, that item becomes a rishon, which means it could be metame. Sorry, that becomes an av, and it's metame even people and kelim. But if he was carrying a tray, and on the tray was this cloth, and he moved the tray without touching the cloth, that already is tumah kala, and it's only a rishon, which means it's only metame now, food and drink, and not anything else. So we're talking about a light tumah. So there was something on the floor underneath. If this bread were to have fallen, there's no way it couldn't have touched that cloth. And yet, what do we say? If you come into the room and you find the bread on the floor, tehora. Why? And then what do? You find it on the floor next to but not touching the cloth. Now, even though the assumption is if it fell off the shelf, it must have necessarily touched that, what can we assume? Shani omer, adam tehor nechnas l'sham u'nitala. Someone must have come in and moved it. We can assume that. Okay? We can assume it was moved by a person and not that it fell. Okay, ad shiomar, unless someone says, "Bari li shelo nichnas adam l'sham." I know this room's been locked. No human has entered this room, and therefore the only way the loaf could have fallen was by actually falling. Which the only way the loaf could have ended up on the floor was by falling, which means it had to have been. But otherwise, we assume someone moved it. So what do you see here? This is again, you find something in a different location. We're mekel here, right? We're not machmir. That's what we're trying to get at. Why was Rabbi again? I'm just going to review. Why was Rabbi Yochanan Metame in the Kupa case when it was in a different corner of the house, when in general we say different location, we're not machmir? So this would prove, like we tried to say, maybe we are machmir. No, this shows different location, we're not machmir. And Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar pointed out about this case, Lo nisrucha ele lemakom midrom. This is only talking about when the shelf is on a diagonal. Okay, it's not a straight shelf. Okay, some bad shiputznik put it in your wall. Okay, and it's tilted. But because if it was really straight, then it's very unlikely, unless a tornado came into the room, you know, some huge wind, that the bread fell on the floor. Okay? So anyway, that's an aside. But now they say, oh, no, that's different, because Hatam, Kitikatani Tam, and it exactly tells you the reason in that case. In other words, normally we would be Machmir, but why in this case? Because Shani Omer Adam Torinif Nasl Shamu Nitala. You can assume, how did it get there? Because somebody moved it and not that it fell. So, but in our case, you can't necessarily have that assumption, right? In our case, there's no assumption that somebody moved the sheretz in there, and therefore one would assume the sheretz was in there, and that's why, again, you can say that Rabbi Yochanan is metame. But then they say, no, by us also, hachanami, nema orev ata v'shada. You could say, here we get to the bird, the raven came and dropped the sheretz in, so it's exactly the same as the Adam. So again, why is Rabbi Yochanan metame? It sounds like it's much more likely that the sheretz came in after the Torah were removed from the basket. So now they answer an interesting answer. Adam dibechavana amrinan. Person has intent with their acts. And therefore, when you see the loaf on the floor, you can assume that a person moved it onto the floor. But orev dishaloba kavana, but when an orev does things, it doesn't do it with intent. And therefore, lo amrinan. Okay, we don't assume that the orev came and dropped it in, which is a very strange assumption, because as I said, birds always drop things in. It's a strange chiluk, but again, they're trying to come up with an answer for Rabbi Yochanan. So basically, we end with, that's the end of this section, which is, how is Rabbi Yochanan metame if the kupam moved to a different location and normally we're not machzikina tumami makom lemakom? So now we say we actually do misafik, okay? We midarabanan, we say it's a problem. Okay, even though the other sources indicated not, those sources, again, were not about location, and the one about the mate went lechumra, and therefore, we're going to assume that he could say it here. Okay, now we're going to have another issue. Michte hai kikar. Okay, now we're going to just talk about the kikar case. We're going to kind of zoom out and go into, or zoom in to the loaf of bread case. Hai kikar, this kikar is safek tumah b'rishut yachidu. It's in your house, it fell off the shelf onto the floor, or we don't know how it got onto the floor, but it's on the floor. You don't know, did it touch the beged or not? This is a classic, and what did we say? We assume somebody moved it. But why? Isn't this classic safek tumah b'rishut yachid? And what have we learned? Called safek tumah b'rishut yachid, sveka tameh. We assume, and this all came from the sota, that since the sota was alone in the room with the man, and we have a suffix about her, and we say we're machmir, we call her tameh. Therefore, likewise here, we should say sveka tameh. So why don't we say that? So now they add another element, which we actually learned a while ago about the sota also. Mishum dehavesh davar she'em bo da'at lishael. You can't ask the loaf of bread, did you touch the cloth on your way down, right? Did you come in contact with it? Whereas the woman, right, the sota, could be asked. Now, we might not trust her answer, but theoretically, there's a human there to ask what happened. Okay? So what do we learn? That when we say, safek b'rishut yachid tamei, it's kol davar she'ein bo da'at lishael, bein b'rishut ha'arabim, bein b'rishut yachid sveko tahor. Okay? One answer is to say that we, when it comes to a case where you can't ask, we're going to say that a safek case is tahor. Okay? V'ibayit ema, second option. If you remember, what did we say? The case with the madaf, the madaf, which was not the shelf, but the beged, was a light tumah. And they say, hacha b'tuma d'rabbanan. Okay, it's a little strange that they call it tuma d'rabbanan. Rashi asks on this because it's a light tumah, but it's not a tuma d'rabbanan. It's actually tuma d'oraita. The fact that a zav moves something and, right, the item he moved without touching is a lighter tumah, but it is a tuma d'oraita. But, okay, well, I'll leave the question aside. And how do you know this? Daikanami dekatane madaf. They darshan it from the word madaf. They say, what is madaf? It's kedichtiv aleni daf. What's the
rustling?
What?
Rustling.
A rustling leaf, which is very light, right? It's, you think of very light. So therefore, it must be a light type of tuma, like a tuma d'rabbanan. And therefore, they say maybe that's why normally we'd say sveko tahor, but since this is a very light form of tuma, we're going to be meko. Okay. But again, safek d'rabbanan, we always go lakula. So it's a safek and a d'rabbanan, again, assuming whether it's d'rabbanan or light, but they're going to say that's why we go lakula. Okay, This was all a long, okay, we got off for a long time on Shammai and Hillel. If you remember, just to review the Mishnah, we started with the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechet. Shammai says, Kol anashim dayan sha'atan. If a woman sees blood, we can assume that the blood only started coming out right now. There were four explanations for that, right? One the first day and three yesterday, about why he says that. Hillel omer mipkida lepkida. We go back to the last bedika. Until now, we only saw explanations for their shitot, but now we get back to Chachamim. What did Chachamim say? We don't hold like Shammai, we don't hold like Hillel. What do? We do the minimum, right? Whether it was either, he adds in this whole new thing about 24 hours, either if 24 hours was the closest time to, right, she goes back 24 hours, or to her last bedika. So if her last bedika was 6 hours ago, we go back to her last bedika. Otherwise, we go back 24 hours. We don't go earlier. Let's say she hasn't done bedikas in a week. We don't go all the way that far back, only to 24 hours. He has the minimum, right? He tries to go with the minimum, but he doesn't go as minimalist as Shammai, who says we don't have to go back at all. So now we're going to learn more about Chachamim and what their reasoning is. Right, until now, we kind of say it's a compromise, but there has to be logic to their compromise. They're adding in this whole new element of 24 hours. Where did that come from? Tanu Rabbanan. So first we're going to read a braita about Chachamim to explain it more in detail, although we kind of understood this already. V'chachamim omrim, lo kedibrei zeh v'lo kedibrei zeh, lo kedibrei Shammai, shelo asa siag l'dvarav, not like Shammai, who didn't make any sort of, you know, fence around it and kept it exactly, you know, from this moment. But lo kedibrei Hillel, shehifriz al midotav. Right? One went too far one way, one went too far the other way, right? Hifriz al midotav, way exaggerated, like go back what? Who knows how long you could potentially go back. Ela me'et le'et, mima'etet al yab b'pkida l'pkida. A 24-hour period could minimize from pkida l'pkida. In other words, it could make it less than from your last bedika, assuming your last bedika was a long time ago. Umipkida l'pkida, and your last bedika can be mima'ete, can minimize al yameh le, can make the time frame less than 24 hours, theoretically, if you did a bedika recently. How does this work? Me'et le'e mima'ete al yamipkida l'pkida, ketzad, badka atzma be'echa b'shabbat. Let's say you checked yourself on the first of the week, on Sunday, umatza tehora, and then you didn't check on Monday, Tuesday. And on Wednesday you checked. And you found yourself tme'ah. We don't say you go all the way back to Sunday, right? This is obvious. We already did this, but they're explaining it in case it wasn't obvious. But we go 24 hours. Umipkida lepkida mim'etev aya me'le ketzad. How does that work? Badka atzma b'shah rishona. She checked herself first hour of the day. And then she didn't check the second or third hour, below Badka. And in the fourth hour, Badka umatzah tme'ah. And then she finds herself in the fourth hour tme'ah. Ein omrim titma me'eleh. She doesn't have to go back 24 hours from now. Ela mipkida lepkida. She goes back to the first hour of the day. So now they say, okay, wait, the second part is pretty obvious. Pshita, kevan de badkat ma b'shari shona umatzah Torah. Obviously, that's going to be the case. Who would ever in their right mind think you go back 12 hours when she just did a bedika? What's a bedika? A bedika is a way of proving she has an internal check. She sees that she doesn't have blood, then obviously. So they say, well, they just brought that because I did because the first case was less obvious. So they just did this to compare. It was more a literary thing. They were just comparing, but it was obvious. Okay, now we're going to get to what's the reason behind, what's the logic behind their shita. Where does Chachamim get this 24 hours? So I'm a rabbi. My time, I do Rabbanan. What's the reason? Isha margeshet batzma. He says a woman, just like we said about Shammai, one of the answers was, a woman knows when she's getting her period. So we're not going to go back all the way a week or 4 days or whatever it might be. Okay, well, that's okay, but what's the problem? I'm going to abai him kain tehedaya shata. But then Abaye says to Rabbah, if you remember the relationship that's important for the continuation of the Gemara, Abaye was adopted by Rabbah, and Rabbah was also his teacher, and this happens quite often. So Abaye asks him the following question. He says, well, if you're going to say a woman feels when she's getting her period, well, then you should say only from now or whenever she felt, right? The assumption is she knew as soon as she was getting her period, then you shouldn't have to go retroactively at all. Why would you go back 24 hours? So what do they say? Yeah, that was a good question, Abaye. And such, Rabba, l'chidud il Abaye hu d'Abaye. He was just checking Abaye. He didn't really mean it, okay? Because that was obviously not the reason. And he was just trying to catch Abaye, make sure he was listening as a student, right? Make sure he dropped it in to see what Abaye would say. Therefore, that wasn't really what Rabba said. Ella, my time with Durabanan. So what is their reason then? It's interesting that Rabba doesn't bring a reason now. You got to wonder what really happened there. Ki had amar of Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Chachamim tiknu lehen lebenot Yisrael shiyuhu bodkin atzman shacharit v'arvit. Okay, this is the beginning. So Chachamim made a takana that women who were dealing with Tuma and Tara in order to avoid, right, and that, the whole problem is, this is crazy. How is she supposed to know what taharot she was involved in, what she touched? It's really complicated. So what they say, check yourself in the morning, in the evening, and that will at least, I mean, theoretically, they could have said check yourself every hour, but, you know, they didn't want to exaggerate. So once in the morning, once in the evening, okay. So shacharit lahakshir taharot shel laila, varvit lahakshir taharot shel yom. Shacharit, in order, do it in the morning so that you could say, okay, well, now I'm good in the morning. That means anything last night I came in contact with is fine. And then in the evening, do it again so that everything you came in contact with in the evening, in, during the day, will be fine. Now, what happens if you check Arvit and you see you have blood? Well, you have to go back to Shacharit, basically. So you lose, let's say, about a 12-hour period, right? So now, we're going to get from this. So now, let's see. So, right, so Arvit, Shacharit lachshir tarot shel laila, Arvit lachshir tarot shel yom. Vizo, now, we're obviously dealing with a woman who didn't check, right? Because then we're going to go back 24 hours because there wasn't any bedika. So zo ho'il v'lo batka hifsida ona. They wanted to penalize her. Now in ona, if you remember, we talked about this, and ona is a 12-hour period. Again, 12 hours means not on the clock, sha'ot zmanio, right? From sunrise to sunset, sunset to sunrise. So now, what do we say? This woman, let's say, she should have checked in the morning to clear her nighttime, right? But she didn't check in the morning. Now she checks in the evening and she finds blood. Now, if she had checked in the morning, so she would have been fine all the night stuff. So now that she only checked at night, we're going to say, we're going to penalize you. You check now at night, we're going to make you, you missed an ona, we're going to penalize you in ona, so we're going to go back 24 hours. Okay, that's how they get the 24 hours. So then they say, so my ona, ona yitera, right? It's going to be an additional ona, so not just the 12 hours before, but now it's going to be the 24 hours before. Because if she had done everything kalacha, she would only be penalized, right? And it's not even penalized like that. It just means 12 hours. But now we're going to go back 24 hours. So Amar le Rapapa le Rava, v'hazim yimishkacha la shalosh onot, b'mei leit. But if you say, we didn't say 12 hour, you know, night, day, what do we go back? We go back on the clock 24 hours. So if it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she goes back to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that means it's messed up the onah of the day, the onah of the night, and the onah of the previous day, some of it, right? So we're ending up with 3 onot and not necessarily 2. So what are the answer? Hishvu chachamim midotehem shelo tachlok b'mei leit. They want to make sure you have a 24-hour period, so they basically just said 24 hours. And 24 hours comes up in other cases. And if you remember, this is actually an interesting shita in Chulin. Talk about interesting shitot that never get accepted lahalacha, or at least I don't know anyone who does this. But one of the answers for one of the opinions about how long you wait between milk and meat, there was the guy, I forgot his name. He says about his, he says, I'm vinegar, the son of wine, because I wait only from the previous meal, and my father waits 24 hours. Okay, yeah, interesting shita, 24 hours. Okay, we learned this in Chulin. Anyway, what do we say here? That they wanted to just, you know, they took, this concept existed in other places, this May, late 24-hour period, and they just took that so that, you know, it was a simple way to say it. That's one answer. Ibait Ema. Another answer is, Shelo Yehecho Teniskar. This is an interesting one. If a woman, now you're supposed to check, let's say, you know, right in the morning when you wake up, and the beginning of the eve, right, the beginning of nighttime. Let's say the woman doesn't check at 8 o'clock in the morning. She checks at 12 o'clock, okay? Now, if you say two onot, what are we going to penalize her? The day, right? Even though she doesn't have a whole onah, and the night. And if she checks at 8 in the morning, you're going to penalize her from the whole previous day. So, and this woman from 12 o'clock is going to actually end up better off than the woman at 8. So they wanted to say, no, we want women, I was just giving 8 as an example of the morning, but you want women to make sure to do the bedikot on time. And therefore, we're going to make it 24 hours so that we're going to penalize you if you do it at 12, okay? And not make it better for you. So, my benai, what's the difference between these two options of either the rabbis just wanted to make a blanket 24 hours versus lo yehecho teniskar? Ika benai u di itnesei v'lo badka. If the woman was honest that she didn't check, in other words, she didn't on purpose not do it. She just totally forgot. You know, something happened, a crazy crisis in the morning, and she had to run out the door, and she didn't end up checking. And, you know, then you wouldn't have the issue of lo yehecho teinis kar. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Then you would have a nafka mina between the two. Okay, now we're going to start a whole new section, which relates to the words in the Mishnah. Kol isha sheyesh la veset. If you remember, there was that line that said, daya shata. Any woman who has a regular cycle, very, very regular, we're going to always say she's only metame from now. Now, the question is, are we talking about when she sees when it's not the time of her veset, or when she sees when it is the time of her veset? Okay, it's not so clear here. So first we're going to say, lema matnitim Rabbi Dosahi. It sounds like our Mishnah follows Rabbi Dosa, which is a little bit of a strange thing, because Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Dosa, and it's often rare that the Mishnah would say something without a name, and it would actually be attributed to an individual and not to the rabbi's opinion, which is the general. Why? Below Rabbanan, and it doesn't sound like it's Rabbanan. Why? Detanya, the Braita says, it's actually the Mishnah, right? It should be... Right, because some of this is in the Mishnah, some of this isn't, okay? It comes up in the Mishnah on Daf Zayin. One second. Right, I think Rabbi Dosa appears there. It says that Rabbi Lezer Omer Arba Nashim Dayan Shatan. Okay, according, this is in the next Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer says there's four women. If you remember, Shammai said, Kol Hanashim Dayan Shatan. They only go by right now. He says only four women are Dayan Shatan. These are these categories of four women we're going to see a lot. We'll see what's unique about them in a minute. A betula, a meuberet, okay, a virgin, someone who is pregnant, a minika, nursing, which in halacha is 24 hours after childbirth, uzkena, okay, and uzkena, an older woman, right? A betula, usually it means it's actually interesting, usually it's a ketana, not a betula. These four women, okay, we're going to assume, because they're generally called misuleket amim, they have less blood, generally. They have less regular cycles, and their cycle is irregular. Therefore, we're going to say those women go by right now when they see. But other women who are not considered what we call, they're called really misuleket amim. They don't have, the whole thing we kept saying is women like are shchichei badamim. These women are less likely. That's why it's more likely it's not a betula, but really a ktana, right, when she first starts menstruating. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Dosa Omer Kol Isha Sheyesh La Veset. Right, that's not so relevant, but the next part is important. Rabbi Dosa says Kol Isha Sheyesh La Veset Daya Sha'ata. Any woman who has a veset Daya Sha'ata, that matches our Mishnah, the line in our Mishnah. So it sounds, and in fact, it doesn't say it there, but the rabbis disagree with him. Okay, the rabbis don't think that that's the case. They think that Isha Sheyesh La Veset, even if she has a veset, she's metame l'mafrea. We go back in time, right? We go back either 24 hours or to her last bedika. So that's their question. Is our Mishnah really only Rabbi Dosa? So now they're going to say, well, things are more complicated than what they seem. Afilu, they're going to have two possible answers, right? They're going to reject the first, but let's try it first. Afilu tema rabbanan, ad kan lo plige rabbanan ale de Rabbi Dosa, ele shelo b'shat vesta. There's a woman who has a veset, and then there's when is the blood seen? Is it seen when she has, when it's her time that she's supposed to bleed or not? Mm-hmm. So the rabbis disagree with Rabbi Dosa if she sees when it's not the time of her veset. Then we're going to say it goes back to mafrea. Aval b'shat vesta modile. But when it's the time of her veset, they agree with them. So now, matnitin b'shat vesta v'divrei akol. And then you can say that our Mishnah is talking about when she is supposed to menstruate, and then even Chachamim will agree, and now we've resolved that our Mishnah works according to everyone. That's very nice. But now they say, wait a minute, but something else doesn't make sense here. Why? Michla, what would your inference then be about Rabbi Dosa? To Rabbi Dosa, they obviously disagree with Chachamim, because it says they disagree with Chachamim. So they'd have to say, afilu shelo b'shat vesta amar. Right? And then we're going to assume he says, even if she sees when it's not our time, we're still going to say only from now and not retroactively. If we say that, we're going to have a problem with a different braita. Man tana laha de tana rabbanan. Who's the tana of the following braita? Who's the author of this? Is it Rabbi Dosa? Is it Chachamim? Isha sheyesh la veset, k'tama tamei l'mafrea. Shim tir'eh shelo b'shat vesta, mitama mei lei. Okay. They talk about they're different, they're comparing a woman who sees, who has spotting issues versus a woman who menstruates shelo b'shat her veset, meaning a woman who normally has a cycle and then menstruates not at the exact time. So what does it say here? If she has a veset, her keten is retroactively. It goes back, and we're telling her retroactively. Why? Because if she had seen blood shelo b'shat bestal, we would go back 24 hours, and therefore when it comes to a keten, we're also going to go l'mafrea, and there it's interesting, they go l'mafrea b'shat kibus, from the time she washed her clothing. The assumption is, when she washed her clothing, she checked to make sure it was clean. Okay, I don't know if you guys are so careful about this, right? But it's like, I was thinking, laundry nowadays, pretty much our laundry does get things clean, but in the dishwasher, right? Often when you unload the dishwasher, at least in mine, you know, sometimes stuff gets stuck on. You check things to make sure they're still clean. So the assumption is b'shat kibush she would check, and therefore if she finds a ketem on her clothing after she washed her clothes, we're going to go back to the last time she washed her clothing. So now, according to this, what do you see? Isha, who has the veset, is the topic, and it says, someone who sees shelo b'shat bestam mitamah me'leit. Now that right now doesn't match anyone, because what did we say? Shelo b'shat bestah. Right, now, so the rabbis disagree, right? Nema Rabbananhi below Rabbi Dosa. So then we're going to say that braita clearly doesn't match Rabbi Dosa, because Rabbi Dosa says across the board, anytime she sees. Now, it's interesting, why would they be so concerned that this braita doesn't match Rabbi Dosa? We'll get back to that. So now, what do they say? Now they're going to switch what they said. Okay, we're going to flip everything we just said and say the exact opposite. Afilu tema Rabbi Dosa, in order to make this braita match Rabbi Dosa, we're going to say the opposite. He was only disagreeing with the rabbis at the time of the beset. If it's her time, then we're going to say dayashata. Okay, but they would agree with the Rabbi Dosa would agree with Chachamim that a woman who normally has a regular period and then all of a sudden sees it a different time, then we're going to go retroactively. Okay, and that's Rabbi Dosa. Umatnitin, and the Mishnah is only b'shat vesta b'Rabbi Dosi, and then we're back to saying our Mishnah only matches Rabbi Dosa. Ubraita divrei hakol, and the braita matches everyone, and then the Gemara is going to say, v'luk me'ifcha, why don't you do the reverse? In other words, why, we were going well in the beginning, why didn't we just say the braita is only chachamim and not Rabbi Dosa? So what do they say? Kevan de'ika le'ukma le'kula u'lechumra, le'chumra makminan. This is interesting. Since you could go l'kula or l'chumra, we'd rather explain the machloket that they're in the more machmir direction. Okay, rather than in the more mekel direction. So we'd rather say that Rabbi Dosa says, shelo b'shat besta, we're going to go l'mafrea, because they rather went l'machmir rather than saying that Rabbi Dosa thinks if you have a regular period and then you see any time, we're not going to go retroactively, we're going to say from here on in. They didn't want to go that way. So they preferred the option, even though it's weak, because then our Mishnah ends up only Rabbi Dosa. They preferred that because it goes in the chumra direction. It's just interesting because sometimes they want to go more the chumra, sometimes they want to go more the kula. It's interesting when they choose which is which. Okay, we'll end with that.